A Closer Look on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back to A Closer Look. I'm Sheila Logmanis. Ready for the elections? Are you registered? Too late if you haven't registered, and shame on you if you haven't, because we have a privilege, yes, a responsibility to be involved in the political process. Our bishops teach us that. Seriously, that is their statement. We have a moral responsibility to be involved in the political process. Why? Because that's how policy gets made, and we are all called to make social moral policy, and that's our role in this country. Is in a representative republic, those people who represent us are the ones who vote. They draw up the resolutions. They bring it to the floor. Remember Schoolhouse Rock? Anybody who knows that? I agree with Senator Ben Sasse. We got to get back to Schoolhouse Rock. Looks like some of the members of Senate Judiciary Committee forgot about that, the essentials of that, how things get done or should according to what was drawn up by our founders, the process, the political process has devolved. Well, we've got to bring it back again to civility and to ethical principles in our leadership. Joining me on that is Brian Birch, president of CatholicVote.org. You know him well, and co-author of the American Catholic Almanac. Brian, we've been talking heading into the midterm elections, and then along comes one of your weekly, or a couple times a week, happily now, letters that you send to your subscribers. And I took a look at the numbers, and you were giving us the numbers of traditionally, or maybe even in the last midterm elections, the low numbers of turnout. Talk about that, because do you anticipate, Brian, it's been very low. Do you anticipate this time that number for midterm election turnout, the people or the percentage, is going to go up?
Well, thanks. Great to be back here, Sheila, especially a couple days before the election. You're right. You were referencing an email that we sent out where we went back and looked at the midterm data from the last midterm that was held. So 2014, obviously, the last national election we held was a presidential. And it's astounding to see the number of people that do not participate in a midterm election. For example, I believe it was 61-62%. Maybe 59%, somewhere right around there, because that's generally what's happened the last four or five presidential cycles. Approximately 60% of the electorate, eligible voters, participated in the election. So still a high number, but, 40% of eligible voters didn't show up or didn't participate. Wow. But what happened in the last midterm? The last midterm election, so off year, no president on the ballot. The last midterm was in 2014. The numbers were 36.6% of eligible voters participated. It was actually the lowest number, or lowest level of participation since World War II. Now, there's lots of reasons for that. 2014, it was the obviously last 2 years of Obama's midterm. Republicans won a number of seats in both houses, and including the Senate, which, as we all know, after the Kavanaugh confirmation, how important those seats were. So never underestimate even what might be termed a sleeper midterm. But that tells you there's generally speaking over the last 25, 30 years, so modern elections, recent modern elections, is 15 to 25% drop off among eligible voter participation versus a presidential election year. And so what does that tell you? It tells you that the voters that are most engaged are the ones that are going to have an outsized role or outsized impact on the outcome. Voters that are less engaged, that aren't paying as close of attention, many, many of them simply do not participate. And so our message, as you saw, was if you're a highly engaged, a very interested voter, your vote during a midterm election is 25-30% more impactful. It really does make a difference if you participate in a midterm election.
It's incredible. I'm looking at your subscriber letter, and if you go to CatholicVote.org, you can, it's just perfectly free. You just put your email address in, and then you receive this as well from Brian each week. And I'm grateful, Brian, that you've upped it a little bit. You've sent out more, and I'm happy to see that ahead of these midterms. But when I saw that, I thought, oh my gosh, you've got this group of people, and the rest are shadowed out. And the only people, it's just a graphic that's easy to see at one glance, how few people actually vote. So when you say 36.6 of eligible voters, percent of eligible voters participated in the 2014 midterm elections, the lowest number since World War II, that is unbelievably intolerable. We can't have people doing that. And you say many people stay home for a whole, you list mainly four reasons, like 35% scheduling conflicts, 34% too busy, sick, I forgot, or whatever. Brian, are they, do you sense people right now are more motivated in general? And if so, are they more motivated in the Republican Party or in the Democrat Party, or is it split?
Well, a lot of questions there in your question.
I know.
So you're right. So 64% of eligible voters did not participate in the last election, the last midterm election. And why was that? Like you cited some of the reasons. Some of the biggest reasons were had a scheduling conflict, I forgot, or was not able to make it to the polls for different reasons. Those are the biggest reasons. There's also some reasons where people say, I didn't think my vote counted, or I didn't like the candidate. You know, you're hearing that in some states, for example. So all that means is those less engaged voters or the people not paying attention are less important than the people that are more engaged, which goes to your next question. Do I think that this election is going to feature a higher level of engagement or higher participation? Early voting suggests that is the case. The early voting numbers that are already in across the country, and in many places those are now closing as they prepare for Election Day, the numbers are much higher already. For example, across the country, there are more early votes cast than there were in the entire last midterm election. Now, I know I just mentioned that was smaller. At the same time, I do think there's a way in which the media creates a bit of a permanent crisis perception of all anyone cares about is the politics, what Trump's tweeting, and the various he said, she said, this controversy, that controversy. Of course, because that sells commercial time and airtime on their networks, and that's what feeds the beast. And the vast majority of people are going to work every day, raising their children, spending time doing things that are not political. And that's ideally the way our society should be working, but unfortunately it's not. So I do think there's more engagement, and I do think it's equally there. I think President Trump has fired up his base in a way that I think a president in a first midterm election traditionally is not able to. I think he's going to hold 30 rallies between September and Election Day. He's crisscrossing the country as we speak. Obviously, the Democrats are doing the same. Vice President Biden, former Vice President Biden, former President Obama, number of Democratic leaders doing the same. And you're seeing, you know, large turnout for both of those, heavy enthusiasm. I think both sides are banking on their most enthusiastic voters filling up because, for reasons we cited, that's what's going to decide the outcome.
Well, and so, yes, the turnout on Tuesday for the midterm elections will decide, of course, however many people come out on one side or another. That's going to have, of course, be the determining factor. But Brian, talk about what all rides on this, because it matters so much whether a president has the ability with Congress to get through key bills or key, you know, policies, I should say. And if he has not only not that, he has people who are going to stop everything he tries to do. This is whatever year you're in. If the president's party is not the party that controls the houses of Congress, well, then everything comes to a stalemate. They don't get all that much done to begin with. That's painting with a broad brush, but really there's not a lot happening. This president has gotten a number of things done. And not everybody would agree with, you know, some of the things he has, but there are some things he's done for the pro-life movement that he followed through on. If this goes another way and the House goes, or the Senate, and you can talk about what you think on that at the moment anyway, then that's going to not only stall anything happening, do you think the rumors of an impeachment process would begin?
Lots of questions. Again, I would say this midterm election in many ways is yes about policy when it comes to judges, because it, as you and I have talked about many times, the Senate is the branch of government that confirms judges, including judges to the Supreme Court. And so who controls the Senate is going to be absolutely critical for the question of judges. And that is, without question, the number one issue in this election, particularly if you have another Supreme Court vacancy. Now, with respect to policy, because the House of Representatives is likely to be either way by a small number, you know, most of the pundits are predicting the Democrats to take the House back likely by a few seats, maybe as much as 10 seats. No blue wave, no blue tsunami. But let's be realistic. If the Democrats do, in fact, take that House back, or for some reason, and we're all surprised on Tuesday, and the Republicans happen to hold on to it, the margin of the majority is going to be so small that I don't anticipate any significant legislative victories for either party to come out of the House of Representatives over the next 2 years. Mm-hmm. Really, what it's going to be is a proxy for 2020. Mm-hmm. And we're going to see a political war occur, including the questions of impeachment. I would say, though, if the Democrats do take the House back and Nancy Pelosi is reelected as leader, I would not wish that job on anybody, because she's going to have a very small majority. She's going to have a very, very enthusiastic progressive left wing fueled by a presidential primary inside of her party that is going to be a race to the left. And she's going to have to keep that caucus in order, including many of her members that come from moderate, bluish or purplish, even some red districts, if they take the House back. And, you know, a lot of those Democrats aren't going to support impeachment unless there's some, you know, very obvious high crime and misdemeanor, as the law requires to do that. And so I think you could see a lot of infighting inside the Democratic Party, which could actually backfire and really help the president.
Well, we will explore that more, because it's a very big if the Democrats take the House, which you have on CatholicVote.org, one of your first blogs posts to click on, I think it's in the blog post, is who will win the House. And so you cite political handicappers from the University of Virginia talking about history and polling, suggesting the Democrats should pick up at least 29 seats. But after, in a few minutes, we're going to come back and talk about, Brian, the big surprise we got on Election Day in the general in 2016. And how many people saw or did not see that coming. That's coming up next. Brian Birch is here from CatholicVote.org. That and the plan you should make for Election Day. He will tell you next.